Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight's study is the Seven Seals of Revelations, Part 2, three parts. If you're listening on YouTube or Rumble and you would like to join us live or listen to our past studies, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/topical-bible-studies. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Most Holy Gracious Father, we come again to look into Thy Word, for Thy Word is a lamp upon our paths, for Thy ways are perfect and a shield to all that trust You. You have set us upon the rock of our salvation and made us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. We thank You for so great a salvation and ask for Your blessings as we look into Thy Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and as in all of our studies, this is a line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept study, whereas all scripture interpretation is by the doctrine of Christ and not the doctrines of men, whereas the Bible is its own dictionary and interpreter. As we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even so there shall be false teachers among you, who privily will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. All right, we're going to start with a quick review of part one. We saw that the number seven represents the perfection of what God has in view. We saw that there were seven churches, which ultimately identifies with all of the churches of the New Testament era. There are the seven mountains, which also identify with the seven churches. We saw the seven candlesticks, which identify with the believers, the body of Christ, bringing the light of the gospel. We saw that there were seven spirits, and again, this is the perfection of what God has in view. There's not seven spirits, there's one spirit, one Holy Spirit. Of course, there's also the spirit of Antichrist, but God is referring to the perfection of what he has in view. Then there's the seven kings and the 7,000. And there was quite a few other numbers that we, things that we've looked at that was numbered with number seven. For those who haven't went through part one, we strongly suggest that you do go through part one in order to lead into part two and then to part three. We saw in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, where we read, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals." We know that that book is the Bible, and God is revealing the mysteries hidden from before the foundation of the world. We read about these things in the Gospels, where God speaks about revealing these mysteries. We also know that this is the beginning of the revealing of God's magnificent salvation plan, which really began in Pentecost. Of course, we had the disciples and the 70 and quite a few other people, but it was really the beginning of the church age really began at Pentecost. We saw in Revelation concerning the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast was like unto a calf, and the third beast was in the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like on a flying eagle. And the four beasts all had each six wings about him and were full of eyes within and rest not day and night. We know that there's the Lion of Judea, which, of course, identifies with Christ. And then there's the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, identifying with Satan. Then there's the beast of the calf, which identifies with, of course, the sacrificial lamb. We then have the third beast, which is the face of a man, where Christ came as the Son of Man. And then we also have the man of sin, the son of perdition. And so for everything that God has laid out, Satan has recreated another gospel identifying with these certain beasts. And the fourth beast was a flying eagle. And the eagle is an unclean bird, but God does identify with the wings of an eagle, where he gives to the woman to go off into the wilderness, where he had a place prepared. And that place prepared identifies with the wings of an eagle because it identifies with the corporate church. And so we have the outer sanctuary and the inner sanctuary. The outer sanctuary identify, of course, particularly with the corporate church, where saved and unsaved individuals are in that church coming under the hearing to be sanctified. And we have, of course, that first rider of the white horse, which we saw at the end of our last study, which, of course, is Christ going forth conquering and to conquer. So now we're picking up on the second seal. Oh, and that first, that whole period of time, the rider of the white horse, where Christ goes forward conquering into conquering, that brings us from Pentecost all the way to the end of the world, somewhere before May 20th, 2028, which is when the fig tree has finished its generation. The Lord said he would come within that generation, that generation would not pass until all these things that we read about in Matthew 24 is fulfilled, and that all those things included the return of Christ. Okay, now we pick it up here in the second seal, the rider of the red horse. Now, red identifies with judgment, identifies with blood. It is a period of time called the beginning of sorrows, and it's a 2,300-day period. Now, we know that the beginning of sorrows begins after the 40 years of testing for Israel becoming a nation, where the generation, of course, is an 80-year period. We read about that in Psalms 90. But Israel became a nation again, came into leaf on May 21st, 1948. So exactly 40 years later, on May 20th inclusive, 1988 was 40 years exactly, May 21st, beginning a new counting for the 2,300 days we read about in Daniel. That goes till September 6, 1994. And we saw that September 6, 1994 is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. It is the Feast of Trumpets, the beginning of the blowing of the trumpets, which is bringing forth judgment, as we read about that in the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets. We also know that September 6, 1994 was the beginning of the Jubilee of Jubilees. It's a 50-year Sabbath, because it's the 50th Jubilee, the 40th Jubilee from Christ. Again, the number of testing that gives us that. And then, of course, you know, we extend that all the way out from, if we go back into May 21st, which is now the beginning of the judgment upon the corporate church, and extend that all the way out, we come to May 20th, 2028, which is inclusive for a complete 80-year period, or 40-year period from that, but a complete 80-year period when we go back to Israel becoming a nation, coming in leaf, which is May 21st, 1948. Okay. We read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast, the second beast was like unto a calf, say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon, to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there were given unto him a great sword. Now we know that the sword identifies with the word of God, and they are killing people with, figuratively speaking, of course, with another gospel, but using the word of God, which is the sword of God, in order to bring forth their other gospel. And it's taken peace away from the earth. The earth, we know, identifies with the corporate church. And the peace that they're taking away is that peace we have with God, that peace that goes beyond understanding. And that, again, that they should kill one another, in other words, to silence that gospel. To be killed, you know, the Bible speaks about believers being killed all the day long. And that's figurative language, identifying with the silence in the gospel, that we're silenced from bringing forth the gospel. And that identifies with the picture, spiritually speaking, of being killed. Revelation 19:17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the white horse and against his army. Okay, so this angel or messenger standing in the sun and crying with a loud voice, this idea of a loud voice really identifies with this message going out to all of the kingdom of heaven in the sense of the body of Christ. This angel, which is a messenger, is probably the Holy Spirit bringing that message through the body of Christ. The word angel is the word messenger, and again, we have to try to identify what messengers in view as we read in these verses the word angel. Okay, and the fowls, we know this from parables that Jesus told us, and that the fowls identify with Satan, and of course his demons. And the idea of them flying is a picture of them being able to move through the kingdom of heaven, which is the heaven is above the earth, and of course bringing forth a false gospel now from that heaven above the church in opposed to the true gospel. So God is now gathering them together as a judgment. He's calling for the fowls, for Satan to come for a judgment upon the corporate body because they keep turning from his truths, turning from the way. So they're gathered together and God has prepared this great supper feast for them that they may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and then that sit on them. This idea of eating the flesh is really a picture of Satan coming into the body of an individual and devouring the individual through the sins of the flesh, to eat the flesh. They move through the body of mankind, ultimately, anybody that is unsaved. Satan and his demons are dwelling in within those people, coming in and out of those individuals, eating the flesh. We read in Psalms 136, verse 12, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever, to him which divided the Red Seas into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Okay, again, this is a picture of judgment now, and the Red Sea again is identifying with judgment upon ultimately Pharaoh, which is a picture of Satan. It's a picture of the kingdom of Satan. And eventually, of course, he's going to be defeated. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Again, red, identifying with judgment, identifying with blood. And the dragon, we know, is interpreted in Revelation as Satan himself. So a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So that's 1,260 days, and we're not going to look into that number right now. I believe, we have looked into these numbers in the book of Revelation when we did that study. But we'll probably cover these numbers anyway a little later in another study. But this red dragon, of course, as we said, it identifies with Satan. He's got 10 horns. 10 is the completeness of whatever God has in view. Horns is power, so it's the completeness of his power. Seven is the perfection, in this case, the seven crowns, the perfection of his kingdom. So he's coming, as the rider of this red horse, which is the beginning of sorrows. It's a period of time, which we spoke about a little while ago, which is a 2,300-day period. We read about that in the book of Daniel. So he's got these crowns on his head, seven crowns, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Now the third, God breaks up the people into three parts, and so there's three thirds. One third he talks about bringing them through the fire, and ultimately, of course, being tried as gold in the fire. Picture of those who are becoming born again, those who have become part of the body of Christ. Then he identifies another third, which identifies with the unsaved in the church. It's a picture of the corporate church. And then he identifies with another third, which is the people outside of the church. So when you bring the two-thirds together, that brings us to the repeating decimal 666, which is the number of the beast, the number of man. Mankind, that is. There is no one individual that God is talking about that is Antichrist. Matter of fact, we go back into Acts, I believe it is, where the Bible says that the Antichrist is already in the world. Okay? And the Antichrist ultimately is unsaved man collectively being embodied within the beast, or Leviathan. So we have this tale that drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Okay, and that the tale is the false prophet. It's the false teacher. The Bible tells us that the tale is the false prophet. But we have the stars of heaven, and did cast them down to the earth. The stars of heaven identify with the believers, and they were cast down to the earth. In other words, they were removed from being in above the church, bringing forth a true gospel, because now there's a time period of the falling away, which is the beginning of sorrows, the beginning leading into the falling away, which in the Greek is the word apostasia. In the King James, it is referred to as the falling away. So it is the great apostasia. But it goes on and talks about this dragon that stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child. This is a picture of Christ, to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up into heaven, that's the ascension, to be on the throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, that's into the New Testament era, where she had the place prepared of God, that's the corporate church, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. And that's the period of time through the New Testament era. It identifies with that, which again, we're not going to get into those numbers at this point. But anyway, that's a period of time that God identifies with the New Testament era. And through this whole time, of course, even when the church is overrun by Satan and his demons, and he takes a seat in the temple, deciding and showing himself that he is God, desiring to be worshipped as God. And of course, that is the judgment upon the corporate body. So we have this picture of the rider of the red horse. And as far as this being revealed, this has been revealed, the beginning of the revealing of these things, other than the first horse, but the second horse, which again is identifying with the end of the world, beginning of sorrows, leading us into the great tribulation, the great apostasia. With this picture here that we see, is being revealed sometime after Israel becomes a nation. Probably more likely, these understanding of these things is probably in 1988, which again is the end of the judgment upon Israel as a nation, the fig tree, given them time, a period of time to repent and return. Of course, we knew from the Bible that they would not return. And then there's the judgment upon the corporate church, a 40-year period. And again, the corporate body is not going to respond and return. They've gone apostate during this time period, which begins, again, the beginning of sorrow, leading into the Great Tribulation, which begins in September 6, 1994. So the beginning of sorrows is probably the beginning of our understanding of these seals, the second seal, the third seal, and the fourth seal particularly, and then, of course, onward, because there are seven seals altogether. And I would imagine that this is revealing, I know at least for me, and my understanding and the understanding I've seen of, and heard of a lot of other people that were also working on these verses, it was revealed a little by little as time has gone on. So we don't have any particular time period that we know when these things are being revealed. But again, the opening of the seals is the revealing of the end times, the judgment that has come upon the church. The judgment begins in the house of God, the Bible tells us. And this is that judgment that God is focusing in on. Of course, the house of God, first of all, was the body of Jesus Christ himself. He was the house of God. Remember, he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. He was the house of God. He was the temple of God. And that's where judgment began with us. He took the place of judgment upon his people. But then there is a judgment of the house of God here during the end of the world, during the Great Tribulation, the revealing of all these things. Okay, the third seal, rider of the black horse. And this period of time is the Great Tribulation. It's the first of a double portion. Okay, and we give it a date of September 6, 94 to May 20th, 2001 inclusive. We find those dates because from May 21st, 1948 to September 6th, 1994 is exactly 2300 days, the days that Daniel spoke about concerning this time period, which is bringing us into the Great Tribulation. Okay, after May 20, we then come after May 20th, which is May 21st, 2001. Okay, that brings us to a time period when the body of Christ departs out, come out of from my people. When we realize and come to see Satan has taken a seat in the temple. We've covered these studies in quite a few of our studies, and, because the language that we look up requires that we look at the time periods involved here. But anyway, it's a period of time. Now it's the Great Tribulation coming into play here. It's the rider of the black horse. It's a darkness, and he opened the third seal, and I heard the third beast say, come and see. The third piece is the face of a man. Remember, man collectively is identifying with the beast. It's the kingdom of Satan, the one-third that is unsaved in the church, and the one-third outside the church. But collectively, that's the beast, and it's taking control over the churches, and come and see, and I behold the low black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard the voice in the midst of the beast saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil or the wine. Now we know that the wheat identifies with the word of God. They're selling a gospel. Okay, no man buys or sells unless they have the mark of the beast. 3 measures of barley. Barley identifies with the gospel. The oil identifies with the Holy Spirit, but this spirit is the unholy spirit, if I may. And the wine identifies with the blood of Christ, but they're bringing another gospel, another Jesus. This is the picture of the beginning of the Great Tribulation, and it also is referred with the double portion, the first part of the double portion. The second part will be given to them when the body of Christ comes out. We'll read about that in a little while. Okay, Revelation 13:11. And I behold another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. Okay, now the beast coming up out of the earth, now Satan is being loosed. That's the great tribulation. Christ comes down, Jesus comes down from heaven, and he's got the key to the bottomless pit, and he opens it up and releases Satan. There's a big picture of that in Revelation. I'm not sure whether we're going to cover that in this study. In any event, it's the loosing of Satan. It's also the drying up of the great river Euphrates, okay, the river of life. The great river Euphrates identifies with the river of life. And when it dries up, there's no more gospel. And it's running through the earth. And now the first beast is going to come up out of the earth, okay? So the beast coming up out of the earth, out of the corporate body, okay? And he had two horns like a lamb. Two identifies with the church. It could identify with the corporate church. It could identify with the spiritual church, the true church of God, or it could identify with both collectively. But he had two horns, so he's now taken over the corporate church. Horns identifies with the word of God, power. Like a lamb, he's coming as the Lamb of God, okay, but he's coming in sheep's clothing. And he spake as a dragon, twisting scriptures, bringing another understanding by bringing in the doctrines of men. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And of course, that beast whose deadly wound was healed is Satan, and he was wounded at the cross. Satan, it talks about in the Bible, Christ bruising his heel and crushing the head of Satan, but his deadly wound was healed. Okay, he's loose for a period of time. And he doeth great wonders, in so much that he make fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men. He's bringing a false gospel. This idea of fire coming down is judgment. And now, you know, in the heavens above, which is the coming off the pulpit, bringing forth the gospel, is now coming a false gospel, another Jesus, another gospel. And that is judgment, fire coming down from off the pulpit, which is coming over the congregation of heavens as the dew or the rain coming down. It's now coming a false gospel, fire, judgment from heavens, the heavens above the earth. Okay, the earth being the corporate church in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those wonders. Now that's very clear now. He just identified with that being the false gospels. And, you know, and again, The original in the King James says miracles, okay? The Greek word is the word simeon, and it could also be interpreted wonder. Miracles don't seem to work very well in a conclusion, so the word wonder should be the proper word. So that's just an error interpretation from the Greek to the English. You might be able to see some kind of a miracles in the sense of tongues, but I think tongues is really people deceiving themselves when they speak in these strange tongues and deceiving others. I think it's more involved with ego, but that's Satan still working inside them. Not that it's necessarily a miracle, they're just bringing false messages. So anyway, by means of those wonders, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Why? Because he's now ruling off. And remember, the beast is just one. It's all Satan. Saying to them that dwell unto the earth that they should make an image to the beast. And that's done by their false doctrines. They're bringing in, again, heresies. They're privately interpreting scripture. And they're privately telling you about a god, which is actually Baal. It's not Christ. And that's the image that's being built with these false gospels. And people are being deceived, thinking it's Christ, when it's another Jesus, another gospel. Creating the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast that they should be killed. In other words, silence from bringing forth the gospel. We are killed all the day long. That's the spiritual picture here. This is not a bloodletting. There is no bloodletting taking place. The nature of the Great Tribulation, as I said earlier, is false prophets and false teachers bringing in the damnable heresies. It's a war of doctrines, the doctrines of men. And God permitting this and allowing this to bring judgment, final judgment at the corporate church. Judgment begins in the house of God. And remember, when Christ was on the cross, he was the house of God. He was the temple of the Lord. Remember, he told the Pharisees and the scribes, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Talk about his body. He's going to resurrect from the grave. They didn't understand that. But judgment began upon him. That's where judgment began, because he became sin for us. He was judged for us. You know, if we go into the Old Testament, we read a verse where it talks of Christ on a cross, and it's talking about Christ and in the mind of Christ. And he's saying, you know, I am unable to look up. And here at the ends of the world, Christ tells us when we see the, when we see all these things come to pass and Christ is coming in the clouds of glory, he says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so the question is, are you going to be able to look up? You know, you have to have that relationship with Christ. What's going on in your heart? You need to really make sure that you are a child of God, that you are responding to his word, that you, the kingdom of heaven is in you, that Christ is ruling and reigning in you, that you have the treasures of God's word in your heart, not the treasures of the things of the flesh, the things of this world, the treasures of God, the treasures of the word of God, the spiritual things. You know, so now is the time, you know, because he's coming soon, very soon. As soon as we hear peace and safety at last, we're going to be ready to look up. And the question is, will you be able to look up? You know, if you don't have that relationship with Christ, you won't be able to look up. You won't be able to stand. Who's going to be found standing? Stand, to stand in the Bible is to be bringing the gospel. Are you standing? Are you able to look up? Are you sure of your salvation? Have you worked out your salvation with great fear and trembling? You know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And, of course, some point in time after you become born again, that fear, you no longer have fear. But we're brought there by fear. Many of these churches have gotten rid of the teaching of hell. And therefore, there's nothing for people to fear. They don't even know what they're really saved from. Some of these churches teach that there is no hell. So you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling if you discover that you are unsaved. And that's very simple. What's going on in your mind? Is your mind filled with fleshly things? Is your mind focused in on the world? Do you have one eye on the world and one eye on Christ, still exercising the sins of the flesh? Or have you crucified the flesh? Or have you repented whenever you, your mind wanders and falls into sin? Do you turn to God and ask for forgiveness and repent for that sin and ask him for strength? Ask him to, you know, help you from being falling into these things anymore. So these are the things, you know, that you can do to discover. Because what's ever going on in your mind is coming from your desires of the heart. And so those are the treasures of your heart. Keep your eyes single. Put in the treasures, the precious pearls and stones that we discover as we dig through God's word. Okay, let's see where we're at this point. All right, we'll pick up in 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I think maybe the speaking might be the idea of the speaking with the tongues. You know, tongues have ceased. They are no more. The word of God has been given to us. We have the complete word of God, Genesis to Revelations. We're not to add on to anything. The Bible is clear about that. So if anybody, and God says the tongue shall cease. And so tongue, the purpose of tongues was to bring messages from God before they had the Bible. Okay? And so tongues had prevailed for quite some time because messages were brought into the church. But the commandment was given that no tongues were to be spoken in a church unless there be an interpreter. someone speaks tongues and is not an interpreter, that's a violation of scripture. Someone else has to interpret. It's by witnesses of two, not just one person speaking tongues, and maybe even that person interpreting. That's not godly, that's not biblical. Okay, and of course, to be killed identifies with preventing from bringing the gospel. We're killed all the day long. And he caused both all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand, and in their foreheads. The right hand identifies with that which is reaching forth. You know, we all have withered hands, spiritually speaking. Remember the man that Christ healed with the withered hand, and God said, "Stretch forth your hand," and his hand was made whole. Spiritually speaking, we all have withered hands, and we need to reach forth to eat off the tree of life. Read about that in Genesis. And until God gives us the ability to reach forth by giving us spiritually, a full arm, a full hand, and not be withered, to take off and take the bread of life. And also the idea of the forehead, what's going on in the mind, that we're focused in on the kingdom. But here in this case, to receive the mark in their right hand, which is the desire of the heart, which our hands reach forth towards the things of the world. And to things of Satan, ultimately being preached in these false gospels, and the foreheads again identifying with following the things of Satan. So that's where the mark is, and let no man buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the beast. Remember, we saw up here just a little while ago that a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure of barley for a penny. See thou art not the oil or the wine is selling and buying the gospel. It's a false gospel. And a lot of them are profiting off of that with money. But in any event, they're selling a false gospel. And no man could buy or sell except he that had the mark of the beast. Anybody that is a true believer in the church has left the church during a certain time period. They were killed, and picture of being imprisoned, and at some point come out of her. So we come out of prison. We're silenced from bringing the gospel, so we don't have the mark of the beast. But we're not buying and selling their gospel. And even now today, there are still people, I'm sure, that are still in the churches. That's God's elect, and maybe they're confused and irritated, or maybe they've left and have no place to hear God's word and are going through great famines, spiritually speaking. But, again, this idea of buying and selling without the mark of the beast, and then the people imprisoned. So people could be in a church, they probably sense something wrong. They know they should be in a church, but they haven't heard the call to come out, and that's a picture of being imprisoned. And they may be irritated and sense something wrong. But at some point, hopefully, from outside the church, they'll hear the message, for them to come out of her. So let's look at 17. Let no man buy or sell, save he that have the mark of the beast. I'm sorry, have the mark or the number of the beast, or the number of his name, and here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man or mankind. That word or a is not in, if you look, it should have been italicized, but it is mankind. That's I believe it's the word anthropos. I forget the Greek word on that, but it's the number of man or mankind, and his number is 666. That's 666. That's 2/3. That identifies with 1/3 that's in the corporate church that has been unsaved, and God is pouring out his judgment upon them. The third is the unsaved in the world that's not in the church, and 2/3 make up the number 666. Okay, the fourth seal, the rider of the pale horse. Okay. We read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast. Now, the fourth beast was the flying eagle. Okay, an eagle is an unsaved I'm not unsaved. What's it called? A unclean, an unclean fowl, a bird. And which is interesting because the corporate church identifies with the eagle. Anyway, this fourth beast, like a flying eagle, says, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. To kill with the sword is to kill with the word, by bringing in the doctrines of men to the word of God. Remember, the Lord said, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump," and he said, "Beware the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees." And he made it clear, I'm talking about their doctrines. We need to look at the scripture with the doctrine of Christ, interpreting scriptures line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible is its own interpreter. The Bible is its own dictionary. But they will be killed with the sword and with hunger. They will starve because they're not getting the truth anymore. And with death. Now, those being with hunger and death, they're probably the people in prison. And at some point, hopefully, they come out. And with the beasts of the earth. We read in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2, "Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus." Now, this is Prince of Tyrus is Satan. "Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas." See, Satan has taken a seat in the temple. "Yet thou art a man and not a God." See, God is referring to Satan as a man. "Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." Now, if we compare this with Isaiah 14, verse 12, we'll get a little bit more of an appreciation, where God says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars." The stars identify with the body of Christ, the stars of God. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation." That's the corporate churches. "In the sides of the north." That's in the end of the world here, where we're at. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." You know, we're the cloud of witnesses, above the body of Christ, they're claiming. "I will be like the Most High." And, and the clouds, of course, Satan was ascending above the heights of the cloud when we were still in the church. And then when we came out, the clouds come. God says, "Come up hither, come out, go to the mountains. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee." To narrowly look is to study. It's a picture of judgment. It's a picture of being in a court, like being in a court of law, and you're judging the situation, the individual, or whatever. "They that see thee shall judge thee, narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the whole world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" You see, as long as you're in that church, you're imprisoned. Let's look at Revelation 13:1 now. "And I stood upon the stand of the seas, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea," coming up out of the world now, okay? Here's Satan coming up out of the world, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him the power and his seat and great authority." Okay, the mouth of a lion. Okay, remember, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the dragon. The dragon is Satan. It's a picture of the beast, the body of Satan being all of mankind unsaved, whether they're in the church or out of the church. So this is when Satan takes a seat in the temple. This is still in the Great Tribulation. Now, the fifth seal, the souls of them that were slain come out of her, my people. And this picks up on May 20, I think that should have been May 21st. May 21st, 2001 inclusive. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, up until May 20th. So that would come from 1994, September 6, 1994, I believe, coming all the way up to May 20th, 2001. It's a seven-year period, and that includes that last day. And this is when the body of Christ comes out. Now, all this time period, remember, the Great Tribulation is in the church. In the world, you will have tribulation. The body of Christ always has tribulation in the world. But now they have this great tribulation in the churches. Again, not that it's intense anymore, but it is, and to some degree, I guess it is intense. But the word megas is in view, and that's a large size, big, everywhere. So it's a complete great tribulation throughout the whole world. Okay. So up until that point, we were in the church, and now we're being called out. Come out of her, my people. And so we come out of great tribulation. But remember, the body of Christ was bringing judgment upon them for a period of time, especially during the beginning of sorrows. And God himself was bringing judgment upon them, not using necessarily the body of Christ, but calling the false prophets to come in, the fowls of the air, come on in. I got a great supper feast for you. And the dead carcasses is the dead churches, the dead corporate bodies, to feast upon the flesh of kings, and so on. So that's the picture that's in view, and that's the first portion that God speaks about. And there is a second portion, double portion upon her, the Bible says. And that second part will be from May 21st, 2001, all the way till whenever Christ comes. So, and when he had opened verse 9, Revelation 6, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season. A little season is this time period. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Revelation 7:13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Okay? How do you come out of great tribulation? You come out of the church. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they're saved and covered by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any heat, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. Okay, we get a better picture of what's going on here now in Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel or a messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Now this is the Holy Spirit, And to cry mightily, again, a loud voice or crying mightily, that means it's moving through the body of Christ. It's flying through the body of Christ, spiritually speaking. With a strong voice saying what? Babylon the Great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Well, what's become the habitation of devils? Babylon, Mystery Babylon. Who is and what is Mystery Babylon? Mystery Babylon is the apostate church ruled over by Satan, where the harlot sits on the beast, on Satan, bringing in these heresies. Babylon the Great has fallen, has come the habitation of devils. No longer saints, there are devils ruling off the heavens above. And the hold of every foul spirit, again, that identifies with the fowls of heaven that fly, you know, that nested among the branches. And a cage, a prison, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, going after another god, going after Baal, worshipping Baal, spiritual fornication. And the kings of the earth, the leadership, have committed fornication with her, spiritual fornication. And the merchants of the earth, the corporate church, are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. They still have the Bible. They have the pearls. They have the stones. They have all these delicacies that attracts the people in and keeps the people in that don't know what's going on. But again, you know, they're twisting everything and bringing in heresy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, here's the message coming out. And again, this is the Holy Spirit. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners of the sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Where are the plagues? The plagues upon the corporate church. Where are we to come out of the corporate body? Mystery Babylon. Come out of her. Don't be partners with her. Don't be partakers. Don't go and eat and drink with the drunken. They're drunken on the blood of the Lamb. They're drunken on the blood of the saints. and I heard, okay, let me reread that verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached on to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. Now there's the double portion, okay? It's a double payment. We were in the church during the Great Tribulation, for a period of time in the Great Tribulation, and we came out of the Great Tribulation because we come out of the church. But God has put judgment upon them during that time period, and now it's a double portion. He continues to pour more upon them. And I think we're going to see that as we continue to see the trumpets. Okay, so he's pouring more upon them. This is a double portion. So let me start back in verse 6. Reward her even as she has rewarded you. Okay, and this is with death, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. For how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. She had all these precious pearls and stones. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. Now, I think I read this earlier. Let's look into Isaiah chapter, 4, verse 1, concerning these days. And in that day, the days we're in right now, seven women, remember the number seven, seven churches, seven candlesticks, seven is a big number in Revelation, women. Okay, the woman identifies with claiming to be the body of Christ. She's the harlot. Seven women, it's really only one, of course, and the one church, which ultimately is identifying with all the corporate churches, shall take hold of one man, that's Christ, saying, we will eat our own bread. We don't want your bread of life. We got our own bread. We got our own understanding of these scriptures. We have the doctrines of men. We don't want the doctrines of Christ. That's a problem to us. And we'll wear our own apparel. We don't want your covering. We don't need your covering. You know, we got the white, we're clothed with white robes. It was dipped in the blood of the Lamb. They don't need that. They got their own covering. Okay? Only let us be called by thy name. Let us be called Christian to take away our reproach. So they continue with the name Christian. So let me read that last two verses, verse 7 and 8. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow, give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, I'm not a widow, and I will see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, that's judgment, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Okay, the sixth seal. Heaven departs as a scroll. It's like a scroll when it is rolled up, okay? And this is the beginning, bringing them into the second portion of the double portion. And that brings us again from May 21st, 2001, all the way up to May 20th, 2028, but Christ will come before that, but sometime in that period, from now until then. So God will cut it short. I think that's what God means when he says a short work, I will cut it short. You know, he's bringing judgment, but he's cutting it short. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So the point I'm making here is that he's not coming on May 20, 2028. We don't know when he's going to come. We know only one thing. When man says peace and safety at last, get ready to look up. Make sure you'll be able to look up. And we don't know. We'll know at that point, it's any moment now. Could be hours, could be days, could be weeks, could be months, could be a year. It's not going to be much longer than that. But it's going to come. And we just don't know when. But he's prepared us. We're prepared for that. We're not going to be caught unprepared. Revelation 6, chapter 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. That's not one stone upon another, great earthquake. The sun identifies with the light of the gospel, becomes black as sackcloth of hair. The moon is the Old Testament. It's the light of the salvation plan coming through the Old Testament. It's the prophets. They become as blood. It becomes judgment upon them. Okay? And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. The idea of the fact that they've fallen is a sense of falling in judgment. And they put the judgment by departing out as judgment. So falling upon the earth in judgment, even not in destruction or anything of that nature. Even as a fig tree casteth her untidely figs. Here God is relating the corporate church with the corporate church of the Old Testament, with Israel. Remember, Israel is the fig tree. And he's relating this time. So there's the 40-year judgment for them and the 40-year judgment for the corporate body here. So corporate Israel is judged for 40 years. And corporate churches are judged for 40 years. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And that's judgment again. Satan is coming. There's the mighty wind of judgment that God has called him to come. It's the 40 years of testing. Okay, and that testing started May 21st, 1988, going all the way to the end of the world, whatever day that is. But it will be before May 21st, 2028. And the heaven departed as a scroll. That's the word of God. The heaven above the corporate body departs as a scroll. When it is rolled up, scriptures have been closed. And every mountain and island, these are the high places, were moved out of their place. It used to be a high place. It's moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, that's the leadership, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand. Will you be found standing? Again, standing identifies with you're bringing the gospel. Okay? Are you standing, declaring the gospel, wearing all the armor of God? Okay? Who will be able to stand? Revelation 15:2. And I saw as it was a sea of glass mingled with fire. The sea again is the world. The glass again has been transparent, but mingled with fire. We're able to see the judgment into the world. So the sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over Satan, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass. So we're out there bringing the gospel to the world. And we're bringing not just the gospel, we're bringing judgment too, because we're declaring judgment at the same time. Having the harps, the word of God, bringing forth God's word, the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, and the servants of God, and the song of the Lamb. You know, the song of Moses is the Old Testament message that brings salvation. But now the true understanding of that salvation is seen in the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are the ways, thou King of saints." We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." The evil day has come. We're in it right now. Will you be able to stand in it? Will you be able to declare the true gospel? Will you understand and see to come out of her, my people? Who, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth of the gospel. Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. And having on the breastplates of righteousness, Christ is our righteousness, the breastplates of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are we standing in the gospel? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet, the knowledge of your salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. Are you praying to God? Are you walking with God? Are you having a relationship with God? Or are you having a relationship with this world? What's going on in your mind? Are you spending as much time as you can thinking about the things of God? You know, struggling through the Scriptures, trying to understand, asking for wisdom, going up on the mountain, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, watching for the day of the Lord. Thereunto, will with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are watching. This brings us to the end of part two in our study of the seven seals of Revelation. Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday for part three. Good night.
Good night.